Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. Could you take your Mennonite hymnal and turn to number 554? 554. Me if I would do the mission moment this morning. Last month, Daryl gave us this in our mailbox, and the first thing on the list was Saturday, October 20, Friends of EMM at Salonga Meeting House. Daryl and Mike and I attended that meeting, and it was delightful, inspiring, and challenging, to me at least. EMM's logo is Everyone Moving in Mission. And the theme of this one was Families Moving in Mission. It was attended by grandfathers and grandmothers, gray-haired people, and children. It was a nice mix of people. We began with a brunch, which was the delightful part, a delicious egg casserole and pastries and other fruits and things. And then the children were dismissed to go downstairs, and they had a delightful time playing with all kinds of games and crafts. And while they were downstairs, there was a panel discussion with the adults. There were three couples, a couple by the name of Michael and Ruthie, who spent time in India, Lee and Lisa Zimmerman, who are a pastoral couple at Indentown Mennonite Church, and Heather and Micah Brickner, also a pastoral couple in Lancaster. And you might see Micah's name in the missionary messenger as staff at EMM. These three couples gave illustrations of families moving in mission. One couple mentioned a backyard barbecue and inviting your neighbors. Another mentioned having a neighborhood play group where you bring your children together. One mentioned inviting yourself, especially in other cultures, if you're trying to learn to know a new culture, inviting yourself into their home, because it's difficult for a new culture, another culture, to come to your home. That's kind of frightening, but invite yourself to their home. Walking around the neighborhood and talking with your neighbors. One person said they built a backyard fountain so that when the children come to play in the backyard, they don't have to all run in the house for a drink. The fountain was in the backyard. The Ruthie from India spoke about the importance of artwork with children. Children are uninhibited and will draw whatever they think. It doesn't matter if it's nice or not, it's what they think. And so she told a story about how one of her children drew a lady sitting on a bench in a park. And the child explained this to her mom about this lady, and so they went for a walk. And sure enough, they found a lady sitting on a bench in the park, and they gave her the picture and explained what the child was thinking, and they prayed for this woman sitting in the park. The gospel is caught rather than taught. They stress spend time with people, learn to listen. There's a saying, I don't know what culture, where it comes from, but God gave us one mouth but two ears. The importance of hospitality. Bill Swartley has a very interesting article in the current The Mennonite, and he ends by quoting someone who says that he'd like to build longer tables and not such high walls. We need to learn how to be more hospitable. So that was the inspiring and the challenging part for me, how to be more hospitable, how to listen more carefully, how to spend time with people. After that, the children were brought upstairs and we formed assembly lines and put together 50 hygiene kits. And then Joe Hollinger from EMM and Joan McManus, who also is involved with both of these are involved with the 450 North Prince Street building that EMM purchased and eventually will move into, gave us an update about the building. A lot of plans are being made, especially how the first floor will be used in this building. Second floor will be Salonga moving to 450, having all their offices upstairs. But the hospitality center on the first floor is what they're really mulling over. How can we best use that hospitality center to meet the people on the street, to make everyone feel welcome? And tours are available. If anybody would like to see this building, tours are available. The last thing I wanted to say was that on November 16th, the Extra Give Day, EMM will be at 450 and have a dessert buffet in front of the building. They'll be there with Church World Service and Immerse International, which used to be the Millersville Children's Home, I believe, or International Center. It's called Immerse. They will be there on Extra Give Night. And finally, here is a poster which I want to put on the bulletin board called 10 Ways Kids Who Follow Jesus Can Be Friends with Kids Who Don't. And it says things like, tell the truth, always be honest. if you don't, you don't have to agree on everything to be friends. Learn to listen. Talk about your differences, but don't argue. And so on. I'll put it on the bulletin board for you to read. 10 ways that you can follow Jesus as children.
Would the ushers come forward for the morning offering? Devout souls delight to reflect upon those mercies that they have obtained in answer to prayer, for they can see God's special love in them. Let's pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another day that we can gather here and worship you. We thank you for your love. Remind us today of broken chains in our lives and sins that have been washed. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. How about that? All right, let's try it again. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. The house is still satisfied. So. All right, well, let's pray and give Calvin time to figure out why he wouldn't hear me. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. God, I thank you for a bright, sunshiny day. God, I thank you for autumn and the changing leaves. God, I thank you for your son, and thank you for sending him to the earth to make a way to you for us. God, I thank you for the message this morning. God, I pray that you would just be speaking through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So since you just sat down, you can get back up. And I got to switch around the overhead and get my, hopefully my technology works better than the microphone did. But yeah, get up and shake somebody's hand and say good morning. Didn't talk long enough because I'm not ready yet. Or else I didn't do it fast enough. So this morning I entitled the sermon Breaking Barriers. Now you could preach probably 10 million different sermons about the title Breaking Barriers, but you have to tell Phil and Wendy like on Tuesday beforehand what you want the message title to be. I didn't have anything real witty by then, so. But we're going to focus on Matthew 27:45-54. But don't turn there yet because we're not going to start there. That's just what we're going to focus on. I'll try to keep it short since for most of you, and for me included, it feels like 11:30. And your stomach is starting to think about the fellowship meal downstairs. So I'll try to keep it short. But we'll start with a funny story that I heard. So there was a joke, whatever. A teacher asked children in a Sunday school class, if I sold my house and my car and had a big garage sale and gave all the money to the church, would I get into heaven? And the children all said, no. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard and kept everything neat and tidy, would I then get into heaven? Again, the children all said no. Well, she continued, then how do I get into heaven? And in the back of the room, there was a 5-year-old boy, and he shouted out, you got to be dead. So this morning, Matthew 27, if you think about it, it's at the end of Matthew. It's Jesus' resurrection. It's not Easter, but we're going to do a resurrection sermon anyway. Thanks to Zach because after my last sermon, Zach was talking to me about the veil that tore while Jesus was after Jesus died. It's not really ever something that I thought about before, and what he talked about was if after Jesus died and the veil was torn and we had this free access to God, have we now replaced the veil with a new one? Whether it be TV or books or social media or some other thing that we put between God and ourselves and we don't remember that we have this direct access to God. So to start, I want to look at Hebrews 9, 1-9. You can turn there if you'd like. If not, I'll read it to you. So to start with, I want to talk about, you know, why was the veil there? What was its purpose? What did it keep people from? Hebrews 9, 1-9. Now the first covenant had regulations for worship and also an earthly sanctuary. A tabernacle was set up in its first room where the lampstand and the table, the consecrated bread. This was called the holy place. Behind the second curtain was a room called the most holy place, which had the golden altar of incense, the gold-covered ark of the covenant. This ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Above the ark were the cherubim of the glory, overshadowing the atonement cover, but we cannot discuss these things in detail now. When everything had been arranged like this, the priests entered regularly into the outer room to carry on their ministry, but only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people had committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was showing by this that the way into the most holy place had not yet been disclosed as long as the first tabernacle was still standing. This is an illustration for the present time, indicating that the gifts and sacrifices being offered were not able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Oh, that's nice. So we kind of have an access denied situation except for the high priest. Nobody else could go behind this veil curtain. Because what happens if somebody went back there? They didn't live to tell about it. So you and I wouldn't have been able to go in. Here's kind of a quick depiction of what the temple may have looked like. You have kind of the court of the Israelites here, the holy place here. The Gentiles were out here somewhere. And the court of the priests, where they kind of did their thing, was inside this first door, but nobody was able to go in here. Only the high priest once a year. So then continuing to look at the tabernacle and the curtain, if you Exodus 26:31 tells them what this curtain should look like. Make a curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, finely twisted linen with cherubim woven into it by a skilled worker. Hang it with gold hooks on four posts of acacia wood overlaid with gold and standing on four silver bases. Hang the curtain from the clasp and place the Ark of the Covenant law behind the curtain. The curtain will separate the holy place from the most holy place. Put the atonement cover on the Ark of the Covenant law in the most holy place. Place the table outside the curtain on the north side of the tabernacle and put the lampstand opposite on the south side. So the purpose of the veil was to hide and bar anyone from entering into the symbolic presence of God, except for the high priest on the Day of Atonement. The only way he could get in, which we'll see here in a second, was to take the blood of a substitute, a bull, a calf. The purpose of the veil was to keep the people out of the Holy of Holies. Sinful man was not allowed to approach the most holy place. So this was an artist's rendition of what the most holy place would look like. There's a curtain here, purple and with cherubim on it, and then the ark would have been back here. We're going to look at Leviticus 16 about the Day of Atonement and what the priest had to do in order to get back behind the curtain. Leviticus 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, who died when they approached the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die, because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover." This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area, with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with the linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on the linen turban. These are the sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he has to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So he pretty much had to change all his clothes and more or less take a shower before going into the Holy of Holies. Aaron is to offer the bull for his own sin, offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He is to cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it for a sin offering. But the goat chosen by lot as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the desert as a scapegoat. So they put all the symbolic sins on this goat and let it go into the desert. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. He is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony, so he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. I'm not sure how he remembered all of these things that he was supposed to do. I don't know if he got it written down or he had people with him that remembered each one of the different things that he had to do, but hallelujah, we don't have that we have to do anymore. And the songs that we sang in worship time fit very well with what we want to talk about this morning. And Jesus came and died and took away all of those rituals. And if you keep reading in Leviticus 16, it just keeps going on and on about things he has to do to go back into the Holy of Holies and how to make an atonement and what's good and what's not good and what sacrifices you have to do for this day and what sacrifices you have to do for this day. But hallelujah, Jesus came and made a way to God for us. And it's going to be, you know, the section that we'll read, you've probably heard 1,000 times, mostly at Easter, but, you know, as I was reading it these last couple of weeks, there are some things that stood out to me that I've never read before. Well, I mean, I've read them before, but they never were like something I thought about. And my faith is fairly simple. I can take a lot of things by faith. So it really challenges me when somebody asks about the veil or some of those things that then when you dig deeper, you get a greater understanding of what some of these things mean. So if you want to turn to Matthew 27:45, and you could probably preach a bunch of sermons out of this couple of verses too. Matthew 27:45. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, or something of that nature, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That verse I found very interesting too. You know, his spirit didn't just leave him. Jesus gave it up. He gave it up for us. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth shook. The rocks split. The tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. This is one that threw me for a bit of a tailspin this week as I was reading it, and I challenged the youth in Sunday school to think about. So if you look at 52, the tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. Okay, that part's one thing in and of itself. But then, they came out of the tombs, comma, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city. But what did they do? Like, what did these holy people do for those 3 days? They were out of their tombs, but they weren't in the holy city. And I did a bunch of research, and nobody knows, but it was just one of those things that you read it 1,000 times, and never occurred to me before what these holy people were doing. But then they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. And then there again, it never says what happened after that. Were they taken into heaven? Did they go, I don't guess, probably didn't go back into their tombs again, but it's one of those things that you can, I don't know, probably look at 100 different books and 100 different authors have a different idea of what happened. But what I want to talk about today is the veil and what, you know, so it's split in two. Oh, that's pretty dark. So it's a picture, you know, maybe you can see it. There's like a purple and white veil that's split down the middle. And there's some priests and stuff that are kind of falling away from it. Now I had to think about them. There's these guys in the temple probably, and these earthquakes happen, and then this curtain, this gigantic curtain, just starts ripping from the top to the bottom. Now if the earthquake wasn't enough, now this icon of separation between you and God just starts ripping from the top to the bottom. You know, I had to think about them and what that would have been like. You know, they wouldn't have known about the rocks coming apart and the people coming out. They didn't have Instagram and Snapchat. They couldn't send pictures, or I'm sure their phones would have been blowing up. But like I'm not sure what was going through their heads during that time. And they probably didn't even realize that, they might not have even known at this point that it was Jesus' last breath. Like, they would have known probably that he was on the cross, but wouldn't have known, I don't think, that, you know, Jesus had just breathed his last and all these things happened. And their lives would forever be different. The lives of all of us would be different. And I believe that the veil tore out of love for all of us. And we don't have to go through a high priest. You know, we have Jesus as our high priest who went in to the holy place and was the final sacrifice, the last one. Jesus' blood was the last sin offering that we needed. Access was now granted to God. Each one of us can go in to the most holy place. Hebrews 6:19-20, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In Hebrews 9:11-15, Christ came as a high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once and for all. Having obtained eternal redemption, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sacrifices for the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? I thought that part was important. Cleanse your conscience from the dead works to serve the living God. For this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Jesus was that last sacrifice. We don't need bulls and heifers and goats anymore. Jesus paid it all for us. And then back to Zach's question, have we replaced the veil with a new one? Do we put something between us and God that we don't realize? And some of these things are good. You need money. You need a job. Family's a great thing. Books aren't a bad thing. But anything getting between us and God, is a hindrance. So just a few final questions to leave you with. Do we recognize and realize the gift that Jesus gave us? He died on the cross. He took our sins and even more than that made a way for us to commune directly with God. And have we replaced the veil with a new one? For each of us, it might be something different. But hallelujah, Jesus tore the veil. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you. God, thank you for coming. God, thank you for making a way to the Father for us. God, thank you for taking our sins. God, thank you for being the final offering. Thank you for yielding your spirit, for willingly dying in our place. God, I pray that each day we can realize that gift that you've given us. Just the tremendous love that you have for us. The tremendous love you have for each of us, each of your people. God, and I just pray that we can share that with those around us and live as different and live as redeemed people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Take your Mennonite hymnal again and turn to number 555. Thank you.
Thank you for that song. It's now time for prayer and share. Any prayer requests or praises that you have?
This is Lydia. Today is the last day that we're doing the fun quizzing. So if you want to come around, it's at 2:30. We'll do it from 2:30 to 4:30. And today we're doing it on Matthew 13 and 14. So anybody is welcome. Also, this is the last one of the fun one, and so that means we're gearing up for the actual quizzing season. So if anybody is interested, if you're in 7th grade or to 21, you're welcome to join us. We're going to start gearing up for that here soon.
This is Darla. This week, many children were hit on their way, getting on the school buses and things. And I would just like to pray, especially this week, for safety for our children as they go into school every day and, getting on the buses and things.
This is Phil, just highlighting a couple things in the bulletin. I think we like to eat together because we have a fellowship meal today, and next Sunday you have an opportunity to get hoagie sandwiches for the fundraiser for the persecuted church. Also, in 2 weeks is our spiritual renewal service, and we're doing the Operation Christmas Child that Saturday, and there's a supper after that. That's for everybody, even if you aren't able to help with the Operation Christmas Child. So there's a supper Saturday, November 17th, before the renewal service. And I also wanted to mention, I was talking to Scott and Alexis. They're moving to an apartment, I think this week, or they're in the process. They have a couple needs. If you happen to have a sofa or a table or a couple lamps or a dresser that you aren't using or you're changing or something, talk to Scott. Thanks.
This is Travis. So Saturday, December 1st is Backyard Kids Club Extreme, from 5:30 to 8:30 at the Adamstown Y. And so we're looking for volunteers. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. You can sign up. The theme is Jesus, or a birthday party for Jesus. I think that's always a fun event. Sign up.
This is Lamar, and being out in God's creation this week, the beauty of the leaves just was magnificent. Reminds me of God's greatness.
All right, we'll have our prayer for the meal too, and then just wait for the buzzer. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this church body. I thank you for everybody here. God, I pray that you'd be meeting each one in extra special ways. God, we do just lift up the things that were shared this morning, the quizzing, whether for fun or the actual quizzing event. God, I just pray that you would take the things that are memorized and studied and just allow them to take root in the heart and soul. God, we pray for safety for school children, and just especially after this last week or two of things that were going on, and pray for especially for the students at Warwick and just the loss that they suffered. In our local area, God, I pray that you would be with them and just be sustaining the kids, the parents, the teachers, the counselors, the local pastors in that area. God, we pray for our renewal services coming up. Just pray that you would be preparing us for what we're going to hear and preparing the speaker as he shares with us. Pray for the Backyard Kids Club. God, I pray that it would be a good community event to point kids towards you in this, as we come up on Christmas, just with having the birthday party for Jesus, that kids would realize their need for you and just realize that you're the reason for the Christmas season. And God, we do just thank you for the beauty of your creation, God, the changing leaves, the crispness in the air. God, just everything that you've created and the beauty of it all. And God, as we have a meal together, God, I pray that you would just bless the conversations, the relationships that are strengthened. God, I pray that you would just bless the hands that have prepared the food and allow us to just thank you for the people in our midst here that we can share a meal together with. We pray these things in your name. Amen. You're dismissed.